Pastor Varun and Pastor Dala Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. You are the teacher, Holy Spirit. You are here with us today, and you will teach your people. Lord, you can teach your people more than what I say. You can speak directly to them. You don't need to depend on me, Father, but you can speak directly to their heart, to their soul. Father, we believe that your word is precious. And we believe, Lord, your word gives life. We believe, Lord, your word is, Lord, like a medicine that will bring health to our flesh, our bone, will bring anointing, will bring, Lord, restoration and healing to our life, Father. Lord, we receive your word with faith. We want to act on your word. We want to learn and know and understand how to pray effectively. Thank you, Lord. We want to touch heaven. And we want to be used by heaven to change this earth in this generation. Lord, use this church to impact the nations, Father. Lord, we have the nations, representative of nation in this room. And Lord, you will raise them up to go and touch the nations for you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. We continue from this morning. This morning we learn about the definition of prayer. What does it mean? What does pray mean? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Bible says, is anyone of you among you suffering? Let him pray. If we're going through a trial, we're going through a hardship, we're going through suffering, what should we do? Should we pick up a phone? Should we pick up the prayer line of some certain ministry first and say, could you pray for me? Should we pick up the phone, call the pastor at midnight and say, I'm in trouble. Could you please pray for me? Is that the way that most Christians do? No. The first thing you should do, you pray yourself. Thank God that we can pray for one another. Thank God that you can call your care group leaders. Thank God that you can call the church. Call Pastor Caesar at 2 a.m. What is your home phone number? What is your cell number? Pray, call him at 2 a.m. Thank God Pastor Caesar will pray for you. Thank God for Pastor Mary May. Thank God for Pastor Num, Pastor Ann. Thank God for all these people who will pray for you if you call them. Thank God for your friends in the same care group that they will pray for you. But you know, if you just depend on other people to pray for you, you are an immature Christian. God wants to develop us. God wants us to grow up. That one day, we don't need to depend on other people to pray for us all the time. The Bible says that is anyone among you suffering, let him not let the prayer line pray. The Bible did not say, let's call Joyce Meyer Ministry to pray for you. Don't send the prayer. The Bible did not say, send the prayer request to Benny Hinn Ministry. No. The Bible said, let him, let her pray. So let me ask you a question one more time. If you're going through a hardship, if you are suffering right now, what you should do? Let me pray. Is that right? You pray yourself, help yourself first. You know, if you are sick and weak and no strength, I and Pastor Da are happy to go No, I sent Pastor Sisa to go and mow the lawn for you. Because if I push the lawnmower, I may be fainting soon. But, you know, but if you are strong and healthy, it's not right to call Pastor Caesar to mow the lawn for you, to wash your dishes for you, and to clean up your house for you. If you're strong and healthy, you should clean up your house for yourself. You should mow the lawn yourself. You should take care of your own business. Mature Christian take care of their own business of praying first. Do your praying first before you call other people. That's why in our camp here, we want to learn how to pray effectively. Amen. Everyone say, I will do my own praying. I will learn how to pray effectively. So the first sentence you say when you get into trouble, don't say, could you please pray for me? You just say, God, I pray to you. I trust you. I know you listen and you hear my prayer. Amen. A lot of Christians have a habit of asking people to pray for them. The Bible continues to say like this in verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The word sick in the Greek language means sick without strength. When you are really sick, when you cannot get out of the bed, when you cannot go to church, then you call the elders of the church. In other words, every Christian should belong to a local church. Every Christian should have a family of God to belong to. You should not be floating around and don't even know the name of your pastor. You should know exactly what family you belong to. And when you are sick and you don't have any strength, you can call for the elder to come to pray for you. You know, one time God teach me this with my own experience, that when you really, really sick, you cannot sometimes pray for yourself. You feel so weak. One time, I remember that I went to Tausa. I went to Broken Arrow. And the rain came down so heavily. And I need to go to the meeting. So I just ate my late lunch, big sandwich. Okay? Then I run to the church. I run for almost 2 miles in the rain. When I got to the building, what happened is that all the blood went down to my leg. I got fainted. The sky became yellow. I could not even stand. I have to lay on the ground in front of the church building. And unfortunately, even the usher did not open the door. He said, call the ambulance. I don't want to get involved. So, and a lot of people say, this is a doctor. You need to help him. Get him into the church. And no one opened the door. And at that time, I was dying. And then, thank God, somebody come and pray for me. I cannot even pray for myself. I don't even have strength to pray for myself. So when you are weak, you can call the elders to come and anoint you with oil and pray for you. Amen. So when you see somebody sick in the hospital, the church should rally around, go to the hospital, pray for the sick together. We go and lay hand and believe God together. The prayer of faith will raise the sick. Amen. How many people want to see more healing in the church? What you need to do, pray more. Amen. Lay hand more and you're going to see more healing in the church. You're going to see more healing in the hospital. Amen. Every one of you here is authorized to lay hand on the sick. If you are the believer, everyone turn to each other and say, you are authorized to lay hand on the sick. Amen. Look at verses 16 to 18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's so important that we don't walk in sin. When we sin against one another, when we have disunity, fight or strife in the church, or we offend one another, it's very important to pull down our own pride and go to that person and say, I am sorry. I have wronged you. I have offended you. Amen. We need to confess our sin and then God can listen to our prayer. You know, a lot of times sickness comes from sin. A lot of times trouble come from sin. So if we repent of our sin and then we start to pray for one another, God gonna come and heal and forgive our sin. My dear brother and sister, the Bible continued to say like this, that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he's not a perfect man. He made mistakes. He did not know everything. He one time was discouraged and ran away from the queen. You know, one queen tried to kill him. Then he ran away. He was very discouraged. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth produce its fruit. My dear brother and sister, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man and a righteous woman make power of God available, working in its power. It's very dynamic in its power. When you pray, you can release or you can hold back something. Elijah prayed and hold back the rain. Is that right? When he pray, he releases the rain. The same thing. As Christian, we have the power on the inside of us. We can pray in the name of Jesus. I believe that if you are the businessman and woman, you don't need to be worried about your business, because you can pray, release the finances to come into your business. You can pray and release the power of God in your ministry. You can pray and hold back the power of darkness gonna touch your kids. Amen. I pray for my kids all the time. I pray for my practice all the time. I pray for the church all the time that God gonna release the power. God gonna release His grace and mercy upon the church. And we're gonna see miracle happen. Don't lay back. Don't let it go. Don't just say, Quesala, Sela, whatever will be. You can dictate. You can dictate the situation in your life. You can dictate. You can change the situation on earth here. Amen. Hallelujah. You can make it happen by praying, by presenting your request to God in faith. Amen. Many people make their prayer as a religion in itself. Some people say like this. You know, this is more like introduction. I want to make sure that you understand about prayer correctly. Some people say like this. Prayer is the answer to everything. Prayer is the solution to everything. Faith is the answer to everything. People say that, you know, because I pray, that person gets saved. In other words, some people make prayer as a religion. Some people say that, oh, prayer is the answer. They give glory too much the word prayer. But by the way, who pray? They. So what are they giving glory to? They're giving glory to themselves. You understand what I mean? Have you ever heard people say like that? Sometimes I almost say it, but I have to quit. I have to zip my mouth and don't say it. People say it this way. You know, I thank God that person saved. That person accepted Christ last Sunday because I pray for him. Who get the glory? I get the glory because I pray for him. Have you ever heard this? Oh, I got a promotion because I have faith. Who get the glory? You get the glory because you have faith. But listen carefully. If somebody gets saved and you pray for them, it's commendable. It's really, really something good that you pray for the lost. You are part of that salvation. But how about Jesus died for him? How about the usher who's standing at the door and smile to that person, and that person, instead of walking away from the church, but come in and sit in the church? How about the preacher who preached the message and that person gets saved? How about the Holy Spirit who convicts that person? You are just a part of the salvation of that person. Don't give glory too much to yourself that you pray for somebody. Amen. And you say, because of my faith, something happened. But I want to tell you right now, the faith doesn't belong to you anyway. Faith comes from God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. and who give you the revelation of that word, the Holy Spirit, and who sustain your faith, God Himself. So please don't give glory to yourself when you pray. Don't boast that I'm a great prayer warrior. You know what? You present your prayer to God and God answer. Who should get the glory? God gets the glory. Is that right? Not the prayer team, not the prayer warriors, not your faith, not your even your praying. God only gets the glory. Don't boast about your prayer. Don't boast that you pray, know how to pray. You just pray and give glory to God. You are just the vessel. God just used you to pray for somebody. You are just the vessel. You don't get the glory. Don't bring glory to yourself that, oh, look at me. How much I do, how much I pray for that person. Amen. So, give glory to the Lord. Amen. Whenever good things happen, don't boast about your faith, but boast about the Lord. Amen. Boast that God is the one who blessed you. Boast that one is the one who do good through you and by you and in you. Only boast about the Lord. Amen. Now, what is prayer? Let me review a little bit. This morning, we talk about what is prayer. Prayer is communion with God. Everyone say communion with God. Say again one more time, communion with God. It's more than just you talking to God. It's talking to God and God is talking to you. You're listening to God and God is listening to you. It's two ways. It's a fellowship. It's a fellowship. It's a relationship. Prayer is a time of relationship. It's a time of intimacy with God. You can have intimacy with God all day long. Amen. Have you ever heard this way? People say like this. People say, I put in 2 hours to pray. I put in 2 hours in the prayer meeting on that Friday night. Have you ever heard that? Let me ask one more time. Have you ever heard people say, I put in 2 hours to pray? Have you ever heard that? Oh, you know, that day I go to the prayer meeting, I spend 1 hour. Wow, it's a lot. People who say that way don't understand about prayer. Is that right? I remember that, and still happened today. I love my wife, and I love to spend time with her. What do you think if I say to people or say to her, Da, thank God I put an half an hour talking to you today. Out of the 24 hours, I put half an hour spending time with you. You think our relationship is right? No. If people fall in love with one another, time go very fast. They don't even look at the watch. Is that right? They don't even care how long on the phone. I remember I talked with Pastor Da on the phone a lot when we were boyfriend, girlfriend, because we did not live in the same house. We would keep talking and talking and oops, wow, an hour already? We talk, we don't even know. We talk and we spend time, we enjoy. Amen. We never get bored talking to one another. Prayer is like that. You don't put an hour. You don't put half an hour to prayer. But you know what? You enjoy spending time with God. You love to spend time talking to Him, listening to Him. Let Him talk to you. You talk to Him back and forth. It's fun. It's a joy to spend time, have intimacy with the Lord. It's about fellowship. It's about loving communion with someone that you love. Amen. Christianity is not religion. It's about loving relationship. Amen. How many people love God and want to spend time with Him? I want to tell you one thing. We have so many good people around here that you enjoy spending time with. I enjoy spending time with many of you here. It's so fun. But I tell you one thing. One of the most awesome, loving, the most loving, the most gracious, the most fun to spend time with is the Lord Himself. Amen. So you should be looking forward to spending time with God all the time. Is that right? He's the most wonderful person. How many people agree with me that God is the most wonderful first person to spend time with? How many people agree with me that He's the most forgiving and loving and powerful person that you should spend time with? He is the best. Amen. So we should consider prayer as fun time, as a loving fellowship and relationship with Him. Amen. If you say this way, if you go to a prayer meeting or you sit down in your bedroom and in your mind you are thinking, I'm praying, oh I'm praying, oh I'm praying, oh I'm praying. I tell you right now, if you think that way, you are not praying. You know why? Because your mind is aware of yourself. If you really are praying, you are not aware of yourself. You will get lost in the spirit. You will be aware of God. You understand what I'm talking about? When you are aware of the tone of your voice, what you are saying, what other people make noise in the meeting, when you are aware of how other people make noise in the meeting when they pray, you are not really praying. You are just sitting there watching. You are aware of the surrounding and about other people, and you are not really praying. Because if you are praying, you are not aware of surrounding. You are aware of God. Is that right? So when you pray, you get lost in the spirit. I don't mean that you become unconscious. But you are so focused. You are so aware of Him, His presence, to the point that you just get lost and you're just not aware of the natural things around you. You don't even look at the watch. You just enjoy spending time with Him. That is the real praying, the real prayer. When you are so aware of God, you just focus on God. How many people want to have that kind of lifestyle of prayer? Everyone say, aware of God. I'm not aware of myself. If you worry about your hairstyle, how you dress, how you kneel, how you speak, what people are going to think about you, you are not aware of God. You're aware of yourself. And you are not praying. You are performing a religious ritual. And you think about yourself all the time. Amen. So you need to learn how to pray by just plug in and by just thinking about God and just focus on God. Amen. When I worship God a while ago, actually worship is a form of prayer. I just focused my eyes on heaven. I see God sitting on the throne. I saw Jesus was standing on the right hand, and I saw the angel around in this room, and the angel was worshiping God with us. My mind is on God, not on this place. Amen. I am aware of the presence of God in the room, not about what we sing, what noise, how the drummer play drum, how other people sing. I don't care. I just want to get lost in the presence of God. I just want to be aware of God more than anything else. And that is the time of prayer, the time of communion with God. Amen. And if you can do that, you can pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that every word that comes from your mouth is a word of prayer. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that you have to kneel down at your bedside all day long and pray all day long. Praying without ceasing, what does it mean in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? It means that you are living, listen carefully, praying without ceasing means you are living in the continual state of communion with God. You talk to God all day long. You listen to God all day long. Amen. It's like an antenna come up all the time. You talk to Him all the time. You listen to Him all the time. Even when I was talking to my patient, I was talking, I was listening, and I listened to God all at the same time. I listened to the patient, I listened to God, and asked God what I need to do for this patient. When I'm preaching right now, I'm talking to God at the same time in my spirit. That God, what I need to do, what I need to say, what I need to present to your people, what I need to say. I listen to God all the time. It's a continual state of communion with God. And God loved that. God wants us to have a continual communion with Him all the time. Amen. You drive on the freeway. You wash dishes. You cleaning up your house. Water your lawn. Whatever you do, driving in the freeway, cleaning up the house, performing surgery, typing computer, typing email, talking to somebody. When you pick up the phone, talking to somebody, you listen to God at the same time, what you need to say. You are in the continual prayer state of communion with God. How many people want to do that? Continual state of communion with God. Amen. Make a commitment from today on that you're going to pray without ceasing. Talking to you, he talking to you, and you talking to him all the time in your spirit here. How many people know that when God speaks to you, he speaks into your spirit, not in your head? Where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. So when the Father was talking, is talking to you by his spirit, he is talking into your heart here, not into your head. So you hear the voice of God in the heart, not in the head. So you listen here, not listen up here. You don't listen to your mind a lot because your mind always uses reasoning. How many people know that God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts? Is that right? God's ways are higher than your ways. So if you use your reasoning, you're going to come up with all the logics and reason to go against God. But if you listen to the heart of your heart, God can speak to your heart when you pray. And you talk to him from your heart too. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's see who we should pray to. This morning we talk about definition. We say that prayer, I review a little bit. Prayer is not talking to yourself. Prayer is not to impress somebody else when you talk. Prayer is not yelling at the devil. Prayer is not lying in the bed crying and bewailing your own problems. Prayer is not counting beads, spinning wheels, rolling your body, shaking your body. That is not prayer. Prayer is not chanting some memorized phrases and paragraph mindlessly. Now, the question is who we should pray to. Let's look at the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. You see that they pray to impress people. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. The Bible says, pray to your Father. Who do we pray to? What is the answer? Pray to the Father. Amen. Don't use vain repetition. Don't pray repetitiously. Amen. Don't memorize paragraph, memorize scriptures, and pray repeatedly, mindlessly. That is pray in vain. Pray repetitiously. Jesus specifically said that we need to pray to the Father. So don't come up and pray like this. Jesus, heal me. No, that is not the right prayer. You don't pray to Jesus. Amen. You pray to the Father. Don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You can talk to the Holy Spirit, but you don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You don't pray to Jesus. I noticed that some Christians who don't know the Bible, they come up and say, Lord Jesus, do this and do that and do that. I say, wow, this man will not get his answer because he doesn't know what to pray. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Hallelujah. Who do you pray to? Pray to the Father. If you pray the same thing, the same way every time, with the same tone of voice, you are not praying. You are doing what we call vain repetitions. You know, prayer is a living communion with the Father. What does it mean, living communion? It means like this. When you have a conversation with somebody, Have you ever go to a dinner and sit down and talk? Do you know that when you talk to a group of people, the topic of the conversation can change, can go different directions, from housing, from worship, to cars, to sport cars, to trip to Uganda, to trip to Thailand, to Washington, D.C., to Hawaii, to Waikiki Beach, Maui, to different things, to Big Island. Amen. So, you see, you can change the subject. The subject can be changed. The same thing when you talk to God, you don't talk to Him the same thing again and again and again, the same way every time, because prayer is a living communion. The topic can be flowing according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You keep talking to God, God keep talking to you. He asks you the question and you answer Him, and you ask Him the question, He answer you. You tell Him what you need. Amen. So pray to the Father. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 4 to 7, the Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood before the Lord and you mean the children of Israel. Moses was talking that I stood before the Lord and you, the children of Israel, at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire. And you did not go up to the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. This scripture tells us a few things. Before I go on about prayer, I want to talk about the fire of God a little bit. I was standing there, and God told me that, tell people, there are three components to see revival. You know, we just sing a song, Send Revival. Is that right? Send Revival. There are three components of revival. Number one, hunger. You need to be hungry for God. Number two, repentance. You need to repent of your sin. Three, the fire of God. You cannot have revival without these three components. Everyone say with me, hunger. Hunger for God. Repentance, the fire of God. And I tell you, one day God spoke to me this. Is it interesting that after the children of Israel came out from Egypt, God did not say, go directly into the promised land. Is that right? God did not say, go into prosperity right away. A lot of Christians come to God and want blessing right away. God did not say, go out and have fun. What did He say? Go and meet me at the mountain and worship me. So, and at the mountain, you notice one thing, God let them meet His fire. The fire of God is something is missing in the local churches. But you know that the life of the children of Israel is a type of the Christian life. The bondage in Egypt is the bondage to sin and to Satan. Walk across the Red Sea is a type of water baptism, repentance, and getting out of bondage of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Is that right? And the mountain represents meeting the presence of God and be filled with the fire of God. So I believe that every Christian who come out from the darkness must go through water baptism and should also be filled with the fire of God. And not only that, if you notice, in the fire, you can hear the voice of God more clearly. Everyone listen carefully. Some Christians say that I've been Christian for 10 years, I never heard the voice of God. I can guarantee, if you come out to be touched by the fire of God all the time, you will begin to hear the voice of God more clearly. The Bible says, the Lord talked with you to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. The Old Testament is a type of the New Testament. If we want to be led by the Spirit of God, we need to be in the church that believe in revival and stay in revival. Mean hunger, repentance, and welcome the fire of God. If you live in the fire of God, your prayer life will be totally different because you can hear God more clearly. You can talk to God more easily because you are living in that fire. You come to the mountain and be in the fire of God all the time. Amen. Do you get this? You understand what I'm talking about? So important to be in the fire of God. Pastor Num told me that they have revival in Bangkok for the past 2 years. Pastor Num said that to me that, Pastor Lau, I learned something. It's very difficult to bring revival to a land. But not only that, it's even more difficult to keep revival, to keep the fire of God in the church. I tell you right now, I have to fight and fight and fight to keep the fire of God in this church all this year. Amen? Because I know that it's so important to have the fire of God in the church. Amen. So the Bible says like this, you shall have no other gods before me. So do we pray to other gods? No. We pray only to the Father in heaven. We only pray to the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob. We pray only to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray only to the Father, the God of King David. We pray only to the Father. We do not pray to the Holy Spirit. I talk to the Holy Spirit inside me. I listen to Him, but I don't pray to Him. I don't pray to Jesus. Jesus said like this in John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Ask who? The Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. Sometimes I sit around in my house or thinking, talking to God. And God, and I kind of say to God, you know, I want to see that, but I haven't seen it yet. And you know what God speaks to me? He say exactly this sentence to me. You haven't asked me. That's why you haven't seen. Ask, and you will receive. Amen. As I mentioned, I want to sell my house 6 years ago. I didn't pray enough, so I didn't sell. And one day, suddenly, God said to me, you need to ask. And 6 weeks later, I sold my house. You know what I mean? You can ask, and when you ask God, God can give you 3 answers. Yes, no, and wait. Yes, no, and wait. So God sometimes say no. A few months ago, Pastor Da and I went out to look for a house. We think maybe we should change a house, our house. We keep praying, we keep looking, and eventually after 2 months, God say no. We quit, we stop looking for a house. Because God say no, you don't change the house, you stay in the house. You understand what I mean? You keep asking, you keep talking to the Father. And when you ask, you will receive, and that your joy may be full. My dear brother and sister, I want to say this. God give us the authority on earth. You remember God gave Adam and Eve, say, you have dominion over the earth. You remember? You control the earth. You are the God of this earth. And one day Adam and Eve sold that authority to Satan. And now we come back to Jesus. We become a child of God. But this earth still belongs to us. God gave the earth to Adam and Eve. So in order for God to do something on earth, there must be some kind of legalities. You know, when you went to the court, you asked your lawyer to represent you, to talk to the judge. The legality. When you go to the government, you need to go through some legalities. And that legalities mean go to the right office, talk to the right person in the government, signing or writing the application form, the right application. If you want to apply the new passport, you don't just pull up the paper from your drawer and write something with your own paper and say, I want a new passport. What you need to do? You need to get the right application form to get the passport from the government. Is that right? The same thing in prayer. If you want the answer from God, you need to go through the right legality. God will not do anything for you until you go through the right process. And that process of the kingdom of God is this. You ask the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. If you don't ask, you don't have. You need to ask. In other words, whenever you ask the Father, you give him permission to do something on earth here because you are the king on earth. You have dominion on earth. You understand what I mean? Am I speaking to sleeping people? Are you getting this? You need to ask the Father, why in the name of Jesus? Because Jesus, our right to ask the Father is based on the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our right to ask the Father is not based on our own goodness. Don't come to God and say, God, do you know that I'm a pastor? Do you know that I'm an evangelist? Do you know that I am the director of worship? Do you know that I pay 10% to the church? Do you know that I give the the ice water to the pastor while he's preaching? Do you know that I do all these things? You need to answer my prayer. God say, forget about it. That is not your base. Your right to ask God is based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you ask the Father, you come to him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone say with me, I ask the Father. I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Please don't consult horoscope. Please don't consult mediums. Please don't consult demons and Satan. They are liars. Our God is the Spirit of truth. Is that right? Don't consult dead people. Consult the living God. Amen. Don't have a conversation with demon. You know, every time I went to Bangkok and I cast out demons over there in Thailand, they try to talk to me. Demon will talk to me. I'm not going. Who are you? Or something like this. I don't talk. I say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. That's it. I don't conduct any conversation with demons because they're going to lie to me anyway. Just say, go. Get out of here. Done. Amen. Don't consult demons. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, the Bible says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a calf image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon children of the third to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me. In other words, when you pray to the Father, the Bible says, don't make any statue. Don't make any image. Don't make any picture. Don't pray to the picture. Don't pray or kneel down to the image. Don't even make the image of Jesus and kneel down and pray to the image of Jesus. The Bible said, don't even make the image in the likeness of God. No image, period. Don't go to the cross and kneel down to the cross and talk to the cross. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to Paul. Don't pray to Saint Caesar. Don't pray to Saint Nali. Amen. Don't pray to any saint, to Saint John, Saint Peter, Saint Paul. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to any man. Don't pray to dead people. Only pray to the Father. Don't have a picture and then kneel down in front of the picture. Period. You pray by faith. The Bible says like this in Deuteronomy. I cannot finish here. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 12. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You see again? You know, I discovered one secret about gift of prophecy. I remember when I started the church, I was in a denomination. And in that denomination, every time at the end of worship, somebody have to come to the microphone and prophesy something. So we have that kind of tradition. At the end of worship, somebody have to come to the microphone and prophesy something. And sometimes I don't see if some people prophesy. You know what I do? I need to squeeze out of my mouth. because that is the tradition that we need to prophesy at the microphone at the end of the worship. So I will come to the microphone and think what I should say. And I start to prophesy. But actually, many times, it may not come from God. It just come from my eating pizza last night. I just need to say something because it's a tradition. I admit to you that I was in tradition. But since I have been in the fire of revival, I discover one thing. When the fire of God show up, the word of God come at the same time. You begin to hear the voice of God. You begin to have the word of prophecy. Because the word of prophecy come in the midst of the fire. Come with the presence of God. If you want to hear what God say to you, if you want to hear direction from God, I tell you very simple key. Get into the presence of God. Amen. That's why sometimes I had to get out of town. Go to some meeting in Tampa, Florida, or to, you know, actually God spoke to me a lot when I went to Bangkok. In the presence of God, in Bangkok, when I go to revival service, that the presence of God was so strong. When the presence is so strong, sometimes I just get drunk and sit on the ground, on the floor, and the God begin to speak to me in the presence of God. The Bible say like this, that the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form, only heard a voice. Another word, God say, no picture, no form, no image, no statue, nothing. You just sit in the presence of God, sit in the fire of God, and let God speak to you. How many people God speak to you when you lie on the floor in the presence of God? Let God speak to you. I got all the time. When God touched me, I fell on the ground. God came to me and said, Mom, you should not do this. You should not do that. You should repent of that. He was talking to me like when God was speaking to Paul on the road to Damascus. In the fire of God, God speak to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, don't build any image. Amen. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to anything else. But pray only to the Father in heaven. Amen. So simple message tonight. Who do you pray to? God the Father. In whose name? Should we have any image? Should we kneel down in front of any statue? No. We should only pray to the God that we never see. We pray by faith. We trust Him. We know that He's a good God. He wants the best for our life, and we can trust Him. God is never late. God always come through at the right time, His timing. Amen. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be upset. God will answer you at the right time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From today on, we're going to start to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who is the best praying person in the whole world? Who should be our model? The Lord Jesus Christ. From today on, tomorrow night, we're going to learn from the Lord Jesus how He prayed. We're going to learn one subject at a time. Tomorrow night, we're going to learn how Jesus prayed. And the first one is a good one. Tomorrow night. Amen. Don't miss tomorrow night's service. Come, if you have to drive from the city, drive here and come and listen to the Word of God. Amen. It's worth it to hear the Word and to come into the fire of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to pray. Father, from now on, we believe that we're gonna receive the answer to our prayer more often, more effectively, Lord. We believe, Father, that you will speak to your people. Your people in these churches, Father, will have the intimate communion and fellowship with you. They will hear your voice. They will be in the fire of God, Father. They will, Lord, speak to you. They will live in the continual state of communion with you all the time. They will be aware of your presence. Lord, they will love to spend time with you. They will not feel like a burden. They will not feel like a duty or ritual to spend time with you. Father, we bless you indeed. We love you. Please come and help us, teach us how to pray, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. At the time of dinner, God speak to me one thing. He said that, do you want God to get God's attention? If you want God to get God's attention, how many people want God to get God's attention? In the Bible, there are two things that can get God's attention for sure. There are many things, but two things for sure. Number one, being a praying person. Number two, be a giving person. You remember Cornelius? Cornelius, the Bible says, he was not even a believer. But the Bible says he prayed to God all the time. And he gave to the poor all the time. He gave and he prayed. And God could not stand it. God said, I need to do something. And you know what happened? Revival come to his house. Peter went to visit him and poured the Holy Spirit upon. The whole household was saved. If you want to see your whole household saved, you need to be praying people. Pray all the time. Give all the time. Be givers. Be praying people. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.